Part 2, beginning on page 125. Early in the morning, Rikki Tikki came to early breakfast in the veranda, riding on Teddy's shoulder, and they gave him banana and some boiled egg, and he sat on all their laps one after the other, because every well-brought-up mongoose always hopes to be a house mongoose someday, and have rooms to run about in. And Rikki Tikki's mother, she used to live in the general's house at Sagwalee, had carefully told Rikki what to do if he ever came across white men. Then Rikki Tikki went out into the garden to see what was to be seen. It was a large garden, only half cultivated, with bushes as big as summer houses, of Marshall Neal roses, lime and orange trees, clumps of bamboos, and thickets of high grass. Rikki Tikki licked his lips. "This is a splendid hunting ground," he said, and his tail grew bottle brushy at the thought of it. And he scuttled up and down the garden, snuffing here and there, till he heard very sorrowful voices in a thorn bush. It was Darzee, the tailor bird, and his wife. They had made a beautiful nest by pulling two big leaves together and stitching them up the edges with fibers, and had filled the hollow with cotton and downy fluff. The nest swayed to and fro as they sat on the rim and cried. "What is the matter?" asked Rikki Tikki. "We are very miserable," said Darzee. "One of our babies fell out of the nest yesterday, and Nog ate him."
"Hmm," said Rikki Tikki, "that is very sad.
But I am a stranger here. Who is Nog?"
Darzee and his wife only cowered down in the nest without answering, for from the thick grass at the foot of the bush there came a low hiss, a horrid, cold sound that made Rikki Tikki jump back 2 clear feet. Then inch by inch out of the grass rose up the head and spread hood of Nog, the big black cobra. And he was 5 feet long from tongue to tail. When he had lifted 1/3 of himself clear off the ground, he stayed, balancing to and fro exactly as a dandelion tuft balances in the wind. And he looked at Rikki Tikki with the wicked snake's eyes that never change their expression, whatever the snake may be thinking of.
"Who is Nog?" said he. "I am Nog. The great god Brahm put his mark upon all our people when the first cobra spread his hood to keep the sun off Brahm as he slept. Look and be afraid."
He spread out his hood more than ever, and Rikki Tikki saw the spectacle mark on the back of it that looks exactly like the eye part of a hook and eye fastening. He was afraid for the minute. But it is impossible for a mongoose to stay frightened for any length of time. And though Rikki Tikki had never met a live cobra before, his mother had fed him on dead ones, and he knew that all a grown mongoose's business in life was to fight and eat snakes. Nog knew that too, and at the bottom of his cold heart, he was afraid.
"Well," said Rikki Tikki, and his tail began to fluff up again. "Marks or no marks, do you think it is right for you to eat fledglings out of a nest?"
Nog was thinking to himself and watching the least little movement in the grass behind Rikki Tikki. He knew that mongooses in the garden meant death sooner or later for him and his family, but he wanted to get rid Rikki off his guard. So he dropped his head a little and put it on one side.
"Let us talk," he said.
"You eat eggs. Why should I not eat birds?"
"Behind you! Look behind you!"
sang Darzee in staring. He jumped up in the air as high as he could go, and just under him whizzed by the head of Nagaina, Nog's wicked wife. She had crept up behind him as he was talking, to make an end of him, and he heard her savage hiss as the stroke missed. He came down almost across her back, and if he had been an old mongoose, he would have known that then was the time to break her back with one bite. But he was afraid of the terrible lashing return stroke of the cobra. He bit, indeed, but did not bite long enough, and he jumped clear of the whisking tail, leaving Nagaina torn and angry.
"Wicked, wicked Darzee," said Nog,
lashing up as high as he could reach toward the nest in the thorn bush. But Darzee had built it out of reach of snakes, and it only swayed to and fro. Rikki Tikki felt his eyes growing red and hot. When a mongoose's eyes grow red, he is angry. And he sat back on his tail and hind legs like a little kangaroo and looked all around him and chattered with rage. But Nog and Nagaina had disappeared into the grass. When a snake misses its stroke, it never says anything or gives any sign of what it means to do next. Rikki Tikki did not care to follow them, for he did not feel sure that he could manage two snakes at once. So he trotted off to the gravel path near the house and sat down to think. It was a serious matter for him. If you read the old books of natural history, you will find they say that when the mongoose fights the snake and happens to get bitten, he runs off and eats some herb that cures him. That is not true. The victory is only a matter of quickness of eye and quickness of foot. Snakes blow against mongoose's jump. And as no eye can follow the motion of a snake's head when it strikes, this makes things much more wonderful than any magic herb. Rikki Tikki knew he was a young mongoose, and it made him all the more pleased to think that he had managed to escape a blow from behind. It gave him confidence in himself, and when Teddy came running down the path, Rikki Tikki was ready to be petted. But just as Teddy was stooping, something wriggled a little in the dust, and a tiny voice said, "Be careful, I am death." It was Karait, the dusty brown snakeling that lies for choice on the dusty earth, and his bite is as dangerous as the cobra's. But he is so small that nobody thinks of him, and so he does the more harm to people.